We began speaking a few sessions ago about the waters, the song that the waters sing. It started with something more general, the mayim. Then we moved to the yamim, the seas, which is something more specific. And it's still on a larger or grander scale than the next, which is the one we're going to be looking at shortly, which is the Nahoris, the rivers, and there's something else to follow after that. So we've moved from the general to something more specific, which is more mighty and forceful. Indeed, the Medrash in Tehillim, which speaks about the previous song of the seas, tells us that actually, when Antarionus Caesar, Shochik Tamyo, the Emperor Hadrian, may his bones be ground down, I guess it's an equivalent of Yamach Shemai, when he wanted to have a look, see, is this true that the rivers say things and they sing things to the glory of God? He doubted it. So the Medrash tells us that actually he sent a number of people down in glass boxes below the seas to see what is it actually that they sing, what is it that they praise God with. And they actually came back up and said to Hadrian himself, they sing Adir Bamorem Hashem, God is mighty or great in the depths of the sea, or indeed on the heights, depending on which way you look at it. Because these seas, as we've said, they don't cross the boundary that God set for them. Even though they were upset that they're not up in Shemaim, as we spoke about previously, and that's the salty waters, and we have the saltiness of the tears, they are bound by their commitment and by the fact that Hashem has said to them, you cannot move from here. But that was the sea, and now we move to something which is generally seen as more gentle. Of course, we know there are mighty rivers as well, and we might get to speak, if not today, then maybe in tomorrow's session about the Nile, amongst others. So we're moving from, if you like, the klolim, the more general, into the protim, the details. We've already said previously, the Ramchal explains that once you understand klolim, the general rules, of which there are clearly fewer, then protim, details, can fit into them. And as the Pasuk says, Kol ha'necholim holchim alayom, all the rivers or brooks, and we'll come back to that again. We've mentioned it before, and we'll say it again. They go to the sea. But before we have a look at that in more detail, let's see, what is it that the rivers themselves say? So Nahoris Omrim, the rivers say, Nahoris Yimcha Uchof, the rivers will clap their hands together, or clap their hands, comma, I should say. Yachad horim yiranenu, the mountains will sing out, shout out, sing out together. So what's this about? So obviously, the first thing that we notice is the fact that it's Perek Shira, and it's the concept of singing out or exalting, clapping hands. It's all to do with song and dance, but it's going to be a little bit more than that. When you clap your hands, you are congratulating. Well done. Excellent. It makes a noise. People take notice. You're applauding. You put your hands together. Yes, the metaphorically speaking, you congratulate, but also putting your hands together, uniting the right and the left, uniting two opposites in recognition of something or someone who has achieved or does achieve something good, something positive. When somebody has achieved their purpose, when they've done what they're meant to do or achieved the top mark, you clap, you applaud them. When you have achieved your purpose, we know there is simcha. Rashi actually says on the Pasuk, Nahara simcha uchof, yachad harim yoranin, he says, this refers to simcha. Real simcha, as we have explained on a number of occasions previously, is achieved when you have an inner understanding that you've achieved what you're meant to achieve. It's not just walking around with a smile on your face, happiness and joy. No, it's knowing that you're on the right path, you're doing the right thing. And the song of the river speaks this out. We talk about Perek Shiro in our introduction. We said that the word Shiro comes from the word Shir, which means actually apart from song, it means a cycle or a circle. when you think about what the rivers are, that is actually a circle or a cycle. When you consider how the waters form, you have the mist going up from the sea, goes up, and you've got the snow-capped mountains. And from the mountains, even some of the snow-capped mountains, some of that snow actually melts and goes down into the rivers themselves. There is an etymological connection, of course, between the word har, which means mountain, and nahar, which means a river. And you'll find a river at the foot or in between mountains and valleys, etc. You've got this cycle going from the mountain downwards to the river. And of course, as we said, it evaporates back up from the sea once the rivers have gone to the sea in this cycle. And this actually is an expression of what we've explained, what a perfect song this is. It's a rusa de la elo and it's a rusa de la sato, an awakening from above and below. A relationship works both ways. God speaking to us or giving to us, and us praying to him, recognizing him, and nature singing out to him and seeing how perfect everything is. And yeah, kol ha'necholim holchem al hayom, as we said. All the individual particular prot in those individual rivers go to the yam, the sea, the generality of chokhmah itself, of wisdom itself. It uses the word nachal. Nachal and nohor, they are both different types of river. The way that it's explained in the Mefarshim and others, the difference between the two words is a river which is constant, unbroken, just goes on and on, except in extreme, extreme dry weather. Whereas a nachal is a brook, sometimes described as a stream, which different type of stream, or even a wadi. I think the word valley might well be connected etymologically to the word valley as well, which can be dry and then suddenly a flash flood can suddenly fill the whole place. That would be one example of a nachal. Not every nachal is the same, but that's certainly one example of it. One of the most famous examples of a nachal in the way that I just described it to you is the Nachal Kishon. And if there was anything that talks about recognition of God's role and being faithful, it is Nachal Kishon. Now, where do you see this? Because of the original Yam Suf, which was split, as we've spoken about the idea, Machlokes is a split. We spoke about with waters, the split between the waters, but the seas, generally speaking, don't split. At the Yam Suf, they split in agreement with God had told them at creation, there will be a time when you split. Bnei Yisrael went through, the Egyptians get submerged. When they come out the other side, the Jewish people are afraid that maybe the Egyptian taskmasters are going to still be alive and make their way around. If you look at the map, it actually makes sense. They didn't actually go all the way across the kind of a semicircle. So Hashem speaks to the Malach of the Yam Suf, so to speak. It says, spit out the dead Egyptians. A very strange sounding medrash, which we described before Pesach. We said that the Malach said back, is there ever a servant who gets a present from his master and the master asks for the present back? And Hashem says, don't worry, I'll give you back your present. So the sea says back, the Yam Suf says, was there ever a master who claims a present back from his master? I'm not going to come looking for you. He goes, don't worry, you'll have a guarantor one day. Your guarantor will be Nachal Kishon, will be your Orev, will be your guarantor. And you know what? You'll have 1.5 times the amount. That's how much I promise you in return. And sure enough, many years later, not 600 chariots, as was swallowed up by Paro, 900 chariots of Sisera were delivered up faithfully by Nachal Kishon, the faithful guarantor, recognizing the full picture, the full circle, and Hashem's role in all of this. History flows, but it only flows because Hashem is master over all of this. Indeed, kings of the Davidic dynasty, if you see, they were always anointed by a river, a flowing river, because it's meant to represent life, it's meant to represent something which is eternal, which goes on and on. Kol ha'necholim holchem al hayom, they're also connected to this fount of chokhmah, of wisdom, that is a blessing that's given to the Davidic kings. All those tributaries will go towards that place. This is what the river sings out to Hashem, and it claps its hands in recognition.